Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage could help you not get finessed by it. So we got an interesting topic for you today, something cooked up by our relationship expert, Kim Bowen. On this episode, we're going to be addressing the topic of marriage rescue. So what happens whenever one partner is wanting to rescue the marriage and save it, and what happens when, at the same time, a partner wants out? The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only. It should not be used to treat, diagnose, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, and/or qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and/or mental illness. All right, let's jump right in. Kim, what do you have for us today?
Sure. So as a therapist, the clients that I prefer, I love to work with these, they're easier, is when both people come in and they know they want to save the marriage. They may not both have hope, or they may not be certain about their future, but they both want to save the marriage. But that's oftentimes not what comes in the door. So what comes in is usually one person who is more motivated and one person who is pretty done. Either they're already in the process of filing, or they're about to file, or they just have no desire to save the marriage. And that's a tough, tough situation. It's a lot of pain for that person. We call that leaning in when you want to save the marriage. And we call that leaning out when you are pretty much done, or, you know, have one foot out. Basically, you're leaning out.
There are a lot of people that I see that come in, and one of them is definitely leaning out. One of them is a little bit mm-hmm. leaning in. Most of the time, I see one partner thinking that they're doing all the work, and they're really frustrated that their partner isn't. And so they're wondering, well, you know, what can I do if my partner's not going to do anything? What do you do from there?
Yeah. So if your partner's even coming in and willing to talk about whether there's any life left in the marriage, right? Then the worst thing you can do is come to a marriage counselor who is going to put a lot of focus on rebuilding intimacy, because, I mean, you have to be so vulnerable to be intimate. And when you've got a partner leaning out, the last thing that they want to hear is go on date nights, hold hands, and, you know, have sex more. Like, they're just going to be like, well, it's over for sure now. I'm not doing that. And so we have a process called discernment counseling. And discernment counseling is not typical marriage counseling. That's where you come in and you both look at the three options that you have, which is, one is to stay married. We ask to commit to a 6-month all-in effort of, we're going to say, you know, we're going to try to rebuild this marriage and see what happens. And at that point, you'd switch to marriage counseling. Or we're going to leave things the way they are until we set, you know, certain things settle down. For instance, if one is married to somebody who's abusive, for instance, maybe emotionally or verbally abusive, and then they just kind of want to wait to see if that person can get it under control, you know, before they decide if they want to work on the marriage or not. Or the third option, which is move toward divorce. And so we're going to explore all three of those options and what that looks like for you. And then the therapist, their job is to see you each individually and together as a couple. So you get all the sides, right? So you're going to see each person alone and explore for them, like, you know, what are the problems in the marriage? Why do you feel hopeless if you feel hopeless? Why do you feel hopeful? We're going to ask you to remember when things were good. We're going to ask you to explore what it looks like to go down the three paths. And then we're going to bring you together and talk about it and see if there is a way to help you get clarity on which choice is right for you. That's the discernment process. But oftentimes we will get a client whose partner won't even participate in that. They're just
quiet.
They're done. They're just, mm. Or they're done. Sometimes they may come in just to say they've done something or to check the box or so they feel a little bit better about, you know, I've done something before I called an attorney. But there's, I mean, that person's truly done. And so then what do you do? Well, traditional counseling tells you the marriage is over. If one person's wanting to save it and one person does not, there's nothing that person can do but accept it. That's pretty disheartening, right? But I don't think that's true necessarily.
So, I mean, what's the difference? Like, what do we do? You know, what can we do?
So, yeah. So there's a lot of things to do and things not to do in that situation. And again, you know, as I've shared many, many, many times my story, I wanted out, my husband did not. And so I can tell you from the person who wanted out, I can tell you what you, what that person does that drives you further away. And I can tell you what that person can do that might make you stop and turn and look around again. And that's what you want. So if you're the person that's wanting to save it, your spouse is done, what can you do? You can get real serious about your own contributions to where the relationship is. And I mean real serious. And so, you know, we've built an entire coaching business at the Marriage Place just working with the spouse that wants to save it. And their spouse is not even engaged in the process at all. And we save marriages that way. That sounds
super tough.
It is super tough. I bless those coaches. Bless them all because that's hard, hard work. But it's rewarding work. And so what tends to happen is we'll teach that person who's wanting to save it. We'll be like, okay, here's what you're doing that's causing this to hemorrhage faster, right? Like you're making threats because you're trying to slow things down. So you're threatening a really nasty divorce or you're threatening to take the kids or you're telling her or him that you might hurt yourself if they follow through with the divorce, like all this crazy stuff that we put into this environment. And we just make that partner just want to be like, whatever, just done. I can't be done fast enough. So we'll help you stop doing that. Stop doing that stuff. Like I had one guy one time that was constantly telling his wife, I love you. And then he would get so hurt when she wouldn't say anything back. And I said, well, all you're doing is showing her what she's not feeling for you. Stop telling her you love her. And he's like, are you crazy? Like, aren't you the Marriage Place? Like, why are you telling me not to tell my wife I love her? And I said, because it's not getting you the result you want.
Yeah.
Right? You're putting something out there and you're getting a bad reaction. Stop it.
Stop it.
And another thing, like, stop promising change. Stop begging for another chance, stop all that. And I said, just start showing up differently. Start behavioral change because that's the only thing I cared about. I had heard so many times all that. I see your point. You're right. I will do this better. I'll be different. And nothing would fall. No change would follow through or no change would last. Something would shift for a little bit, but it wouldn't last. And there's nothing more disheartening than watching that happen over and over and over until you're just like,
yeah,
I'm it. That's it.
So let me just make sure I hear you accurately. Is that you're saying stop specific things, but start specific things as well. It's not just stopping everything and then just not doing anything anymore. You're stopping some of the habits or the things that you're putting into the environment that are negative, that are not helpful, not healthy. But then also starting some things that are really kind of centered on personal change.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so we help you do that. So one of the things that we do, if you hire one of our coaches to help you through this process, so they do these assessments, these really great ways of looking like, have you shown up as controlling? Have you shown up as somebody who has a lot of negativity or complaints? Have you shown up in the relationship as hypercritical, like just different areas that we know? So we call it a forensic look into where the relationship broke down, like exactly when did it start to get tough and what was your part in it? Now, you can't get caught up in being fair and it's not all my fault. We know all that. It's never one person's fault, right? Very rarely is it one person's fault when a relationship ends. But you're the one we're working with and you're the one motivated. The other one doesn't care. So So we're not going to worry about their part. We're going to worry about your part. And you have to be very willing to be very intentional about owning that and changing. Otherwise, you are just doing manipulation to get your partner back. And we don't want any part in that. So if you're not willing to sign on to make real deep lasting change for yourself, then we don't want to work with you, because we're not in this to just re-traumatize your spouse, bringing him back in just so you can, you know, do the same things over and over. And so,
well, yeah, that's very transparent and very like, that's integrity.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And, you know, marriage, like I said, it's hard work, and you've got to know how you're showing up in it. And there are lots of people, I mean, and hey, I've seen it. They come in, they're like, yeah, but just what do I need to do to get her or him back? That is such an icky feeling. That is so icky, like manipulative. And like, no.
Yeah. So the change has to be authentic. It has to be authentic to your own self. And then it also, you know, and we're not in charge about, you know, how our partners interpret us all the time, but like, our partner should sense, oh man, they're really changing. Like, this is not just to get me back. This is not just so that I don't leave them. They're doing this because they see that, man, something needed to start with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then let's say you do all this work and you spend this time and you spend the money to work with somebody and you have done this really great work and your spouse still leaves. That would suck, right? Except, hey, you're a better person and you're more relational and your next relationship is probably going to be much better.
Yeah.
So win-win.
Yeah.
Win-win.
So what other things would we look at our relationship in a forensic kind of way?
So, you know, it's most relationships die by 1,000 paper cuts. It's not usually one big thing. It can be. I mean, I've seen it. You know, people think they're doing okay, and then there's some big tornado that comes through, like an affair or finding out your partner has some kind of addiction or something like that that you just can't deal with anymore. And so it can be a big thing, but more than likely, it's a lot of little things over time. And so as human beings, it is our nature to see ourselves as the hero of the story and our partner as the villain.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is. And so working with our team is showing you how you've been the villain in your story.
Wow. Man. Yeah. How interesting.
Yeah. That's not for wimps. That's not for wimps.
You're kind of saying, all right, let me see how much I've impacted this in a really unhealthy way. In an unattractive way.
Yes. Yeah. And you got to have somebody willing to be honest with you about it, because your friends and family, that's not what they're telling you.
Right. They're
not. They're telling you, you know, well, she didn't really love you anyway, or, you know, I never liked him. He wasn't good enough for you. Or, you're such a nice guy. Why would anybody treat you this way?
You deserve better, and you'll find it later.
You deserve better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything is about everything else and everyone else, not about you.
Mm-hmm. That's a problem we all have if we're not careful.
Man. So what are some things that we could do to stop doing unattractive things like that?
Well, you got to learn what's unattractive, for one thing. So it makes sense to some people that if they make sure their partner knows how serious they are to save it, or what they're willing to do differently, or begging them for another chance. But really, that feels kind of pitiful and pathetic to the partner who wants out. And so it's extremely unattractive. Other things too is, when we're with somebody for a long period of time and we pretty much know, we can automate them. We know what they're going to think or feel or say or do. Nothing surprises us anymore, really, at least in positive ways. Sometimes we're surprised in negative ways, but not positive ways. And so learning how to be more attractive in different levels, like it may be time. I mean, we don't focus on looks, but it may be time to take care of yourself. Maybe you've let yourself go. Maybe you can be a little more fashionable or take more showers or drop 10 pounds or whatever it is that, you know, your spouse has said they're not happy with. Maybe that's something you do need to look at. But more than likely, it's probably more a deeper thing than that. It might be you've given up what used to make you unique. Like, you know, before we put our lives with someone else, we have hobbies and interests and friendships, and then we get married, and oftentimes we give all that up to build this life together, and then we've stopped being interesting. We stop being conversations become all about the mundane and nothing new and exciting coming in there. So it's about livening it up a little bit too. You know, attraction is based on lots of things. There's the looks, of course, that's what we think about most often, but there's also intellectually attractive. Like, are you somebody I like to have a conversation with? Do you know what's going on in the world? Can we talk about it and have a good riveting conversation about something? There's emotional attractiveness. Like, am I safe with you to tell you what I really think and feel? Are you safe with me? So there's emotional attractiveness. There's, spiritual attractiveness. Like, we share something really important. We can talk about it. We can, you know, have deeper conversations and provide a life of meaning for us. You know, is that something we can share? So there's just these different layers of attraction. And so we're going to help you look at that and spice it up. But sometimes we'll just say, just do the unexpected. Just don't go get a hobby. If your routine is to come home at 5 o'clock every night, don't do that. That doesn't mean make her think or him think you're out doing something you shouldn't be doing. Like, we're not talking about that.
What you're going to be doing.
But we're like, yeah. But it's about, you know, creating a life that makes you somebody that I want to, you know, get to know.
Creating a life that I would like to step into and be a part of.
Yes. Well said.
I like that. Yeah. So when I think about our coaches there at the Marriage Place, I mean, I have high respect for them. They really take some of the most challenging situations and scenarios because, you know, they're in there to do really intensive work right off the bat, really intimate, vulnerable work, but then also really hard work. And some of the times, just like you said, some of the times, you know, you're really just working with one partner trying to save the marriage. Like, what can this one partner do internally to start with themselves and take an honest look at the ways that they've been contributing to the relationship in a really negative way?
Yes, they do a lot of good work, and they can work across state lines. So they've got clients in other countries. They've got clients all over the world. And so they do a lot of specialized training. My coaches are better trained than a lot of marriage counselors. So I'm pretty proud of them.
Yeah. Hey, are there any free resources that are available for people who are interested in seeing if maybe partnering with one of our coaches is an option?
That's a great question. There is now. We used to sell it as an ebook, and then we just decided to start giving it away. But it's on our site, When Your Spouse Wants a Divorce and You Don't, and it's a toolkit. A survival guide, basically, what to do, what not to do, what to look for. So yeah, that's on there.
Guys, well, if you're interested in something that is free and that could really help and give some insight on where you might be or where your partner might be and how to navigate that, just know that there's a free resource out there. Kim, can you share the website with them?
www.themarriageplace.com.
There you go. Easy as pie. If you scroll down, you'll probably see links towards the resources and other items as well. Cool. Well, thanks, Kim. I appreciate you being on and giving us these tips and navigating these tough circumstances and maybe even partnering with some of our coaches here at the Marriage Place. A final word?
Final word.
Stop it. I was kidding.
I know. That is a good one. Yeah. If you're messing it up, stop it.
Yeah, that could be on a shirt.
Maybe we should sell shirts.
Oh my gosh.
Just because your spouse says it's over doesn't necessarily mean that it is. So check that out. If it's something you, if this is really important to you and you really want to know, then maybe check that out.
That's exactly right, Kim. Just because someone says it's over doesn't mean that it has to be over for you. You can do a lot of growth on your own, and hopefully that can really impact your marriage as a whole. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage could help you not get finessed by it. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and we will see you guys next time. Peace.